at that time, I happened to be in downtown Tulsa in the fourth floor of the Orpheum building when we found out the windows were open. We didn't have air conditioning at that time. This is August 14th. This is about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Apparently it had leaked because people started shouting, horns started honking, tissue paper, trace paper started coming down like snow. Somebody busted into our fourth floor office and said, the Japs have surrendered, the war is over. And so I and my four-year-old brother took the elevator down and went out on the street in front of the Orpheum Theater building and celebrated. The town exploded. Everyone, every city and town in the nation exploded with celebrations. We were out in the middle of the street. Cars started going up and down Main and Boston, 4th Street, and people celebrated the biggest celebration in the city of Tulsa, biggest impromptu celebration in the history of the city. The war was over, and it was so thrilling, John. I can't tell you how thrilled we were.
Yeah, and the emotion that you have right now,
yeah,
all these years later.
Yeah. Now, I was prepared to invade Japan. Yeah. I was ready to go, you know, when you're 17, 18, you want to kill every Kraut and every Jap single-handedly. But I didn't have to go.
There it
but
was.
Anyway, I survived the war because of dropping the bombs. Now, had the bombs not worked, we were prepared to invade November 1st.
Yeah.
14 divisions would have invaded Kyushu, the southernmost island from Okinawa, the last island we took. Up to 40 divisions were prepared, if necessary, to invade Honshu, the main island of Japan where Tokyo was located. But the invasion never took place because they surrendered.
Tell me about the party. Did it continue all night and into the next day?
All night. That evening, we got tired celebrating, and we came home that evening, but it probably celebrated up past midnight in downtown Tulsa.
Then you were 19 years old.
Yeah, I was 19
right,
at that
right,
time.
Right. Mm-hmm. So then, officially then, the victory over Japan, VJ Day, was it known?
August 14th,
and I guess that was the day, or August 15th, too, maybe?
No, it was August 14th.
That was it.
Well, right. It was August 15th in Japan.
Yeah.
Time signal didn't.
Right.
Now, 2 weeks later, then, the official signature, the signing of the surrender, took place in Tokyo Bay on the battleship Missouri. 2 weeks later, September 1st. September 1st here, September 2nd there.
Okay.
And on the battleship Missouri, it was about a 30-minute ceremony. The Japanese envoys came on board. Nimitz and MacArthur were there on board. You've seen the pictures.
Yeah.
And I have the pictures on the wall if you want to look at them again. And it took less than 30 minutes for them to sign the surrender. And that was September 1st. But that day was not celebrated here. It was not a celebration here. It was celebrated on August 14th when the day the Japs surrendered.
You make me wish that I was in Tulsa celebrating with you.
Oh, you would
on
have loved
day.
To have been there. It would be worth $1 million
yeah.
to have been there.
What a great
and
memory.
You'll see my pictures on the wall where I was at that moment. And
yeah.
you'll see the pictures in downtown New York you've already seen.
Yes, yeah.
And you'll see the picture.
But I'd never talked to somebody like you who experienced VJ Day in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Because everybody's dead. I was the only serviceman I knew that was home on leave that day. The only one Now, I'll take it back. We found out later there was a sailor at the depot at that time. So that sailor celebrated there, I'm sure, or he may have come uptown. But anyway, I was the only serviceman to celebrate in downtown Tulsa.
Can you tell me some of the other stores that were downtown Tulsa at the time? Any clothing stores? Can you remember other stores?
Oh, well, yeah. Vandiver's and Brown Duncan's were the two major stores. Brown Duncan, you'll see in the picture of me, Brown Duncan was right down at the corner of 4th and Main. Vandiver's was over on 5th Street. remember? Okay, so those were the two major stores. There was S.G. Holmes, there was Palace Clothiers, there were a lot of other more minor stores that were in business that time. And, of course, Riesinger Jewelers up in the fourth floor of the Orpheum Building, we didn't have a big store at that time, but at that time we were doing some retail business in that little shop up on the fourth floor, 411 Orpheum Building.
Yeah, that's so great. That's a great memory. So then Celebration, and then what happens to you then? What do you do?
Well, Celebration, I had to report to my base in Scott Field, so that was the 14th. So 2 days later, I had to report to Scott Field. And, of course, the war was over. They had us go to teletype. We're going to teletype school. I don't know why. But anyway, I never did get there, so we just waited around there in, for a few days, for a few months there in Scott Field, marking time until they decided to discharge everyone that was stateside first to get rid of us so those that were overseas could be discharged later. So I was last in, first out. So I didn't join until in July of 44. And I was discharged, I'd have to look at my discharge, I think it was November 8th of 45. I was discharged in Scott Field and came home.
And that's then when you went to school, went back to A&M?
Went back to A&M after the war on the GI Bill. Mm-hmm.
And so you went there, and then you graduated from the University of Tulsa.
Well, okay, I went back to school. To A&M, I had changed my major. I was going to be a great chemist when I was within 30 hours of a degree in chemistry. But after being away in the service, I had a different interest. I wanted to be a plant breeder, so I transferred when I came back after the plant breeder, plant genetics. You know what that is?
No.
You know? How you inherit something, that's called genetics.
Yes.
Yes.
I would be
a plant breeder, breeding crops, crossbreeding crops in an experiment station.
You're talking about plants. Okay.
Plants, yeah. Plant breeder.
Plant breeder.
Plant breeder, yeah.
Okay. All right. Now I've got it.
Plant breeder, geneticist, yeah.
Wow.
So when I had a new interest, I didn't think I'd make a good chemist anyway, so after the war, I had a new interest, plant genetics. So I transferred into the School of Agriculture when I went back to A&M, and then I was within 30 hours of a degree in plant genetics, and for some reason, John, I decided I didn't work for the government. Most of the jobs would be in experiment stations for the state or federal government. For some reason, I didn't want to work for the government, and I was doing well, but I decided, and I said to Dad, would you allow me to come back and finish my apprenticeship and work for you? And he jumped at the chance because he saw the chance to continue the business. He said yes. So after giving up my future as a plant breeder, I returned to my roots, where I had started my apprenticeship at age 14, and picked up my apprenticeship and worked for Dad, and transferred to the University of Tulsa, went into School of Business Administration, and as I worked for my degree in business administration, I went to school in the mornings and worked as an apprentice, working for Dad afternoons. And then I did that until the spring of 49. And then I graduated from TU, Phi Beta Kappa, and with a degree in business administration, and then finished working for my dad for the next 52 years. Well, he died, though, in the meantime, but I was a jeweler, an active jeweler then for 52 years.
Years.